Yhteistyössä HAM. Helsingin kokoinen taidemuseo. hamhelsinki.fi.
Oikein hyvää iltapäivää. Good afternoon everyone. This broadcast is called, the program is called Kadia, and also my name is Kadia, and now I have a guest here in studio. I have a artist Laura Chemin. I will find out the right button. Here I found you. Laura, hey, how are you?
Hi, good. Thank you for having me.
How are you? How was your day? Actually, first, can you take the microphone a bit further from your mouth, like a cup? Yes, that's perfect. Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah, so how has your day been?
Great, it's sunny, so I can't complain. I think everyone is happy when the sun is out.
Yeah, that is very true. Even though you go out like a bit sad or melancholic and then the sun is shining, though suddenly you're like, oh my God, it's not November anymore.
Yes.
Hey, Laura, your exhibition, Paper Notes and Pine Cones, is now open in HAM Gallery. It opened last week, and a bit before you came to studio, I told the listeners that we're going to talk about gestures and language, and so let's start about that, because that's sort of like that, and then also the bigger context around it is sort of in the focus of your exhibition.
Yeah.
So you're originally from Italy.
Yes, I'm originally from Italy, and everyone knows that Italians speak with their hands, so it's a stereotype, but it's true.
Yeah.
And at date, there are around 200 gestures codified in the Italian language, and we have both gestures to emphasize what we're saying, to make it more dramatic. But also a lot of gestures have meanings in themselves. So we could speak only through gestures.
Okay. So it's like a sign, sort of like a sign language.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And because Italy is quite diverse, both like dialects are different, but also body language is quite different from the north to the south. And of course, because body language is a language, and as every language, it evolves through time. Also, depending on the generation, gestures are pretty different in Italy as well.
So, is there like a difference between a person who is like a bit more sort of reserved and introvert and silent, but then is also the like the gesture language, if we call it like that, is it also sort of also the gestures are smaller, or I'm sort of like thinking about the spectrum of the personality and how people use the gestures.
Yes, for sure. I think body language expresses a lot our personality, and depending how outgoing we are, maybe the body language will be more expressive or bigger, and we tend to take more space. While if we're more introverted and maybe shy, the body language, it's smaller because we tend to maybe round the shoulders, have this chin like slightly down, never look in the eyes of the other person. So that kind of echoes and resonates a lot in the body and also in the hands. But also gestures are not only hands.
Yeah, of course. We sort of stereotypically think of hands. For example, all that we have seen the Godfather movies, and you know, everybody knows this, the gesture where you,
The pine cone.
Yeah,
that's why the show is called Pine Cones.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Where you? I'm trying to explain to the listeners, when you hold all your fingertips
together. Yeah, you have the palm facing upward, and then all the fingertips are coming together, making this pine cone shape.
Yeah. So what is that? What is sort of, if we think of that gesture alone, what is the meaning of that?
Well, what's interesting is that it has can have many meanings, because a lot of times we think about gestures as images, as emoji. But actually gestures are movements. And that's what interests me the most, because I have a background in dance and choreography. So movement is very important for me. And so the pine cone, if we move it quite quickly. So the movement is actually not in the wrist, but in the elbow, and then the wrist is following.
That means
what do you want or what do you mean?
Yeah.
Then if we put two pine cones together, it means that the space is very crowded. If we open and close the fingers in the pine cones, it means we are afraid. So the pine cone actually is used in many, many gestures in Italian, but not only, because one of my collaborators, she's Israeli, and they use the pine cone to say, wait a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So the same gesture in different culture also has different meanings, and that's also why it's so fascinating to look into this and to look into the misunderstandings.
There is an emoji of this pine cone.
Yes.
So do you, I have to ask you, Laura Cemin, do you use the pine cone gesture emoji?
I actually don't, but I use it today to advertise the radio show.
Exactly, yeah.
And
of course.
I thought, I wanted to put an actual pine cone, but there is no emoji for the actual pine cone.
Okay, okay.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to rely on the hand pine cone.
Oh, yeah, that is so true. Yeah, that's a good marketing idea to advertise this radio show, but also the exhibition, Paper Notes and Pine Cones, with the pine cone emoji. Okay, so, but let's talk about your relationship to gestures and gesticulation.
Yeah, it's a hard word.
It's a hard word, but it means like the sort of everything that is sort of contexting the gesture and the language.
Right.
So what is your relationship to that theme?
Yeah, so I lived in many countries in the past 10 years, and therefore I inhabited different cultural landscapes, and I speak constantly a language that is not my own, although I think in English and I read and speak English, so it's very familiar, but it's still not mine. And in the past years, I've both myself, but also because people have noticed and verbalized this, is that my body language has changed, and I don't gesticulate as much as I used to, especially when I speak English. And sometimes more gestures come out when I meet an Italian friend, for example, even if I am in Finland, for example. And I started becoming extremely interested in the concept of mother language and thinking about, or native language, as we want to call it, and speculate on the existence of, instead of a mother language, a mother body. And what is this mother body, and can we actually access it? Because especially for dancers, we have gone through a lot of training, and our body language and our movements have been so influenced many, many times by different traditions and teachers. But of course, every relationship and every conversation changes our body language, because we tend as humans to mirror each other, and this is called the chameleon effect.
Yeah, I know it happens to sometimes to me as well, but also I have a friend who always like picks up the dialect, even though it's not their own dialect, but it sort of like sticks to, like a sticker to, but it's not the, like a personal thing, it's actually like in our DNA that we mirror when we, like, we are communicating with each other.
Yeah, because we want to meet halfway, we want to be understood, we want to in a way also belong, and this happens a lot in foreigners, because when we move to a new country, we are obviously more visible because we are different, we speak differently, we move differently. So naturally we try to be part of the environment. And it's not because we don't feel necessarily accepted, but it's just a natural thing we do. I think everyone needs to feel this belonging.
Yeah, and I think it's just, it's a part of something that is not so conscious when we communicate in a, like, when there's a language that is maybe not familiar at all, for example, like Japanese or Chinese, where even the alphabet is not familiar, and then you go there and you try to somehow make yourself understood. And if there is not a common language, then everything you do with your body and your presence and your energy, it's that's the thing where you sort of try to find the common area.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting because a lot of time we hear people say the body doesn't lie. But actually the body lies a lot, because by researching body language in different cultures, I understood how many gestures are actually causing a lot of misunderstandings. And even the most simple things, for example, counting on your hands, every culture or every language has its own way. Like in India, they count, like on one finger, you can count up to three. So you count these phalanges, the small parts. And in Italian, we start from the thumb. And in Chinese, for example, from 6 to 10, there are different gestures based on the characters. So even the things you would imagine, they are universal, they are not. So that's super fascinating.
So you did you self sort of recognize this, that something in your bodily language or the gestures have somehow disappeared, or maybe turned into something else, or maybe the gesture has become like a sort of disappeared like to zero from your sort of communication? Did you yourself?
Yeah, I did experience this, and especially when I moved to Sweden and I started picking up Swedish. Because I was speaking Swedish only in a specific context, that was the one of the restaurant, I was a waitress there on the side, I noticed that my body was very stiff. And both because of probably the role I was performing, but also because of the language. And it's probably because you feel less confident, less proficient, but it's also the language in itself. Like, we speak the language, but the language speaks through us in a way. So, and language is movement at the end, from the movement of the tongue or the vocal cords, and how these vibrations echo in the body. So I did experience a change in my body language, especially in terms of greetings. So when I go to Italy, everyone tries to kiss me on the cheek, and then I'm so confused, like, oh, I thought I should pat the shoulder, or like hug halfway as we do in the north. My family is really puzzled, and so this kind of was the beginning, and I started looking into it, and some gesture had disappeared, and then through the research I rediscovered them, or also through talking with other people, because I've been doing a lot of interviews and surveys, and then someone would share a gesture from their own language, and then I would remember, oh yes, this is also an Italian gesture, or I used to do it, or my granddad used to do it. So that, it's interesting to see the process of adaptation, but it's not only losing, it's also gaining, because gesturing is communicating. So you lose something, but you also pick up something else.
I think it's really interesting that in for example, in Italian, there's even a book written about, like, and as you said, there are like someone has counted like how many gestures there are, and they differ depending like where from Italy you are. But for example, in Finnish, or I would say probably in the Nordic. Nordic countries, Nordic languages, we don't even talk about the gestures. There's not even, like, when I think about how I, for example, I've grown up in a home where there were many languages, I tried to think that, did we ever talk about, or did I ever, like, is there some kind of like a bodily memory of you using the my hands, for example. Mm-hmm. But no, not really. I think it's the it's something that there is the joke about the Nordic personal space, which is 6 meters. And if you stay out of it, then everything is fine. But if you come closer, then it's like, oh my God, that person is so close. So when something is happening inside the 6 meters, then it's like my space. And whatever I do inside it, it's like my business. And sort of, I think there's some connection between this big personal space and then the gestures, which usually are, when I'm talking to you, I'm gesturing towards you.
Yes.
So there is something, some kind of connection there. Not really sure what, but...
Yeah, I think the body language in Nordic countries is a little bit more muted. Or, well, compared to Italy or maybe South America, it's much more muted. And people tend not to take too much space. Oh, this is my reading of it. And therefore, the body language is also, like, the gestures happen quite close to the body. And they're smaller. And maybe, I mean, everyone has their own way of moving, because gestures are not only codified with a meaning, but there are also the personal gestures. Like, what do you do when you think? What do you do when you're embarrassed? These are still body language, even if they're not codified in a dictionary, yeah. So to say.
Yeah, exactly.
So everyone has a body language, even if it's less apparent. In the moment you start noticing, and usually it's easier to ask someone, how is my body language? Because it's something so ingrained in us that we don't pay attention, we don't really know. That's why it's so weird when you see like a video of yourself and then you're taken by surprise. Do I really move like that?
Yeah, who is that person, like, waving their hands like all over the space?
Exactly.
In the studio I have artist Laura Cemin, and we're talking about an exhibition that is called Paper Notes and Pine Cones, which is open in Hamm Gallery at the moment that we are speaking, and it's open until the end of June. So you have time, people. You have time to go and see it. But in the exhibition, we see pictures, but we will see something else as well. And that's a sort of like a performative part of the exhibition. When is that happening and what is happening?
Yes. So there will be a performance happening on June 8th and 9th from 1 to 5. And on Helsinki Day, June 12th. From 2:30 to 6:30, but everything is written on Hamm's website. And the performance is, so we are four performers, myself and then Tashi Vaoka, Hen Nadler and Daniela Pasquale, all performers who are based in Finland but come from abroad. And then there will be the sound artist Jenny Berger-Mire from Oslo. And it's a long performance, so you don't need to stay 4 hours. We will be there, but the visitors don't have to stay. So we become part of the exhibition. The exhibition is constructed in layers. It's an archive, so to say. So we are the living part of the archive. So we embody these gestures. And the performance is, I won't spoil it too much, but what we're doing is we use the exhibition spaces to study our own body language, each other's body language, and we work a lot with translation tools. So we have used translation tools that we borrow from linguistics. So the tools that actually translators use to translate an Italian text to an English text. But we try to apply them to the body. So how can you use this tool to translate a body language or a movement? So if you don't know the meaning of this movement, what do you decide to translate? The texture, the shape, the rhythm, the position of the hand next to the body. So from something very, let's say, codified, like a set phrase of gesture, a set sequence of gesture, we work with abstraction tools. So that it becomes more and more difficult to understand when a gesture ends and when another one begins, and also when a gesture finishes to be a gesture and it becomes an abstract movement. So yeah, it's an exploration of the body. So yeah, we will use also the spaces of the exhibition, a little bit the space outside. And yeah, people who will come will be able to see the artworks, like the static artworks, and then encounter us. There will be small interaction with the audience, nothing too intense, don't worry. Just sharings of some memories or anecdotes.
Laura Cemin, what is your favorite gesture? Whatever language.
My favorite gesture from not my language, but one of the performers, she shared with us the gesture of her grandmother, and the grandmother used to spit behind her shoulder 6 times against bad luck.
Okay.
And
yeah.
I find it so funny. And then there is a gesture that my granddad used to do, which is very difficult to explain by radio, but one hand is in the pine cone and makes like shape, almost like an umbrella. And then the left hand touches the right elbow. And then you kind of move the hands. It looks like a swan.
Yeah, it looks like the swan's head.
So, yeah, sort of exactly. Like there is a picture in the show. So
yeah.
If you want to see this gesture, you need to go. But these meant like, you think I'm an idiot.
Okay.
And I really like it because it's quite complex and not obvious, and also has a personal memory, personal meaning.
Yeah, it's super interesting. I think probably I was thinking what would be the most famous gesture in the whole world. Well, maybe like bye bye, or maybe middle finger, or. or I would say maybe the pine cone is also like very it's very distinguishable thing, and even I use it now when I'm thinking of it and without even like thinking that I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say maybe, but what would you say is okay, I'm going to ask this question in another way. Is there sort of bodily gesture in Finnish language that you would say is something like very Finnish, or something is very common, or is there one at all?
I was actually looking into this. I guess like hand waving could be, because also it's a way of saying hi without interacting or like entering this personal space. I think also the okay gesture is pretty common, although in some cultures might have different meanings and could also be like number 3 in Ecuador, for example. But these like oko.
Yeah, maybe thumbs up or like a
thumbs up thumbs as well. Yeah,
that's sort of like universal things, really. We don't really have, I think we don't have. If the listeners, if you have an idea of, or if something that we didn't come up here, please tell me.
I would also love to know.
Yeah, because I'm suddenly thinking of this, because this divers have this, when you are underwater, you kind of talk, of course. So, for example, if there is a problem with your oxygen, or if you see a fish that, or like a big fish or threat, some kind of something is happening that you don't know, and you want your with your partner to go on the surface, then you have all these signs that you have to sort of show to the other. And there's like a, my favorite one is when you see a piranha, or what is that in piraya in Finnish. I don't know that if what is the English word, but it's a long fish, and it's sort of like in Finnish, like looks a bit like a giant hauki. It has these like a stripes, or like a stripe kind of things in the back. So when you see a piranha, then you put your one hand or left hand straight, like in the front, and then with the right hand you sort of like chop your hand in a sequence. So then sort of the chops illustrate the stripes in the back. So that's the sign when you show someone with your diving partner, if you see like a sort of like a big bunch of these fishes coming towards it's not maybe a threat, but anyway, that's, and there are all these pieces. You have this like signs, sign language or signs, gestures for different species like turtles and all the fish. That's not maybe like a gestures, but it's more like a...
But it's still a communication.
Yeah, it's a communication.
Language.
Yeah. Yeah. In a sort of circumstances where you cannot talk. But anyway, I mean, that's also because the okay sign and thumbs up and all that is also diverse language. So, yeah. But hey, this was super interesting. So I really, really, really recommend everyone you go and see Laura's exhibition in HAM, Paper Notes and Pine Cones is the name, and it's open until June. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you so much.
And see you around.
Yhteistyössä HAM, Helsingin kokoinen taidemuseo. hamhelsinki.fi